Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there to talk about in the world. World leaders are at Davos. There's a lot of things to get to. But before I do any of that, I do want to play a little bit of an update on the Don Lemon story from yesterday, which I talked about more as just the rioters at a church that decided to upend a part of society that they're not allowed to upend, and they can't pretend that this is freedom of speech stuff. I didn't mention Lemon as much because I just saw him as a guy desperate for attention. But now he might actually be someone who gets in a lot of legal trouble. I saw that quite a few different comments in the last 24 hours have hinted that there might be charges coming for a lot of the people who invaded a church, because that's illegal. You can't do that. You can't protest there. There's two different, the FACE Act, one of those laws that might be utilized. And Don Lemon is not any different than anybody else, unless you ask him. Of course, if you ask him, all of this is because he's a gay black man living in America. That's the only reason that anyone would be trying to get him in any trouble. Not because, and this is what a lot of the rest of us probably think, he did things that are against the law, or at least potentially against the law, especially since he's barely a journalist, even though people call him that. I know I've heard some other pundits say they would not want to see him arrested because it'd be a bad thing to set a precedent that other journalists could get in trouble. But I do think we have to define that line and define it well. But anyway, here's part of what Don Lemon said on a podcast after, these questions started to arise. And that he was allowed to be there because of white supremacy and entitlement. And also, of course, he's now being persecuted.
And there's a certain degree of entitlement. I think people who are, in the religious groups like that, it's not the type of Christianity that I practice, but I think that they're entitled, and that entitlement comes from a supremacy, a white supremacy. And they think that this country was built for them, that it is a Christian country, when actually we left England because we wanted religious freedom. It's religious freedom, but only if you're a Christian and only if you're a white male, pretty much. And so, yeah, I absolutely 100%, but it's an intimidation tactic. And, I said, I don't understand how I've become the face of it when I was a journalist. I do understand that I'm the biggest name there. And I'm also, as I was on with my producers this morning, you and Kylie talk all the time. My producers were saying, I said, how did I become the face of this? And my producer said, Don, you're a gay black man in America.
Of course you have to be the face of it. There's no other reason that you could possibly be the person that people are paying attention to. I don't know. Maybe it's the stuff you said, the stuff about white supremacy and everything else, and the fact that it's so illogical. And then finally, the fact that you should know better. And what I mean by that is that if you are going to use the umbrella of journalism as a place where you're protected no matter what, you probably shouldn't encourage people to protest inside of a church. That's probably a mistake that you wouldn't make if you were actually still even at CNN. The lawyers at CNN would have gotten involved and said, hey, this is probably not a good idea for us to have a presence here because we're pretty sure this is violating some standards and some laws that we'd rather not violate. But darn it, go ahead and go anyway. That's what I mean by defining a standard for what a journalist is in today's society. I love independent journalism. I think you do too. I imagine most of us do, because it's the only way to really get the truth from anyone. The truth is important. And a lot of times, mainstream media, liberal media, hides most of the relevant information along with giving you a narrative and not actually telling you facts. But the problem with independent journalism occasionally, and again, I'm really loosely using that to define Don Lemon, because I think he's just someone who's media starved and out for attention. I don't think he's trying to tell anyone the truth about anything. But anyways, they don't have that protection system. The lawyers, I saw Nick Shirley was asked this in an interview somewhat recently, the All In podcast, which is a great podcast. But they asked him, what kind of legal protections did you give yourself in case someone comes after you? And Shirley was pretty candid about it. He goes, none. I have none. I know that there's some other people out there. I know that, you know, James O'Keefe and others have lawyers that they use when they do this sort of stuff. And honestly, a lot of that is just to protect yourself from frivolous lawsuits that can derail you. People can sue you with no intention of trying to beat you in a courtroom or thinking they can win in a courtroom, but simply bogging you down with lawsuits that you have to defend yourself against, you have to spend money against, and it can crush a lot of small independent journalists. The money side of the business can be difficult. And so I do think that when we're talking about these sort of things, if you're Don Lemon and if you're actively doing something like defying the FACE Act, there is an avenue to where even you should face some sort of justice for that, some sort of a potential punishment, a trial, anything, charges. And if you lose, even if you use the umbrella of journalism as your protection, that's not you thing. That's a thing that you have to deal with from that point on. So I don't think it's crazy that people are asking the question, should Don Lemon go to jail? Just call him John. Should he go to jail? And I do think it's sort of insane that there's some people out there saying that, no, we don't want to start doing this because then we're going to see a whole lot of journalists in jail. Not if they don't break laws, and not if they don't break actual law, not if you don't protest inside churches and act as though you're the person just, you know, providing the story when you seem to be an active participant in it. That's the other aspect to it. Don Lemon seemed to very much have an opinion that he was sharing. If you were just media documenting something occurring in society, you would be the person that doesn't want to be part of the story. You know, that's the last thing I'll say about that, because I plan to move on. But I'll say one other thing. There was a time in journalism and media, like the real version of it, the version where you had people who knocked at the door that you were afraid of if they said, hey, we need to talk, and the media was there. Not what we have now. But there was a version of that where those individuals, the stars of news, didn't want to be the story ever. They never wanted the attention to be put on them, to be put on their opinions, to be put on any aspect of who they are. They only wanted the story to be about the person that the story was going to be about, the person that you were, you know, talking to, or the thing that you were covering. You mattered as little as possible in your own mind. In today's society, a bunch of these people think that they're the most important person in the room. Don Lemon acted that way the other day. He seemed to think he was the most important person in the room. And then he's upset when media is talking about him. He's like, oh, yeah, they're just attacking me because I'm a black gay man in America. And of course, they have to do that. And I'm a liberal. And that's insane. None of that makes any sense because you injected yourself into the story. You broke journalism's 101 rule. The you know, first thing you learn in class one is that you should never yourself be the story. And they don't seem to ever know or appreciate that even a little bit. All right, let's move on. There are a lot of world leaders in Davos, actually even people out of Texas. I am broadcasting at KSEV in Houston, Texas today. I'm at their studios working with them, and some of their own team is there. They have people who are also in political positions of power that were needed in Davos. Of course, Trump is there. There's a bunch of people that are going to Davos. It's so weird because there's two versions of that place and the World Economic Forum. One version feels like a bunch of Bond villains who are all talking together and trying to plan a way to essentially end our society. And then the other version is the version where I think you're putting yourself in those positions as someone who'd rather not see the end of our society or the end of our country. This is people like Trump, and you'd rather advocate for other things. But it does feel like, to some extent, that many of the people who are organizing there, who get together and wind up going viral, I do it because they'd like to see a world economy, and they'd like to see, you know, some things that would not be good for the United States of America. So, of course, we have to participate. We have to go. Of course, we have to be a part of it. And I'm glad that there are people on our team. That audio out there, please, if you can. That was not edited correctly. That needed to be removed. But yeah, he said some bad stuff. And then he went on after some bad stuff to say some knee stuff about how he needed a bunch of knee pads for all the world leaders because he thinks they're pathetic. He essentially went to be a counter-protester at the World Economic Forum. And again, there's parts of what he's saying and doing that I agree, not because of him, not because of his stance on literally anything, but mostly because of the way that I feel about the forum itself, that there's things that I can agree with there, that there are people that seem creepy. But they're not the people I think that Newsom is talking about, because I think that what he's trying to make the joke about is more people bending the knee to President Trump than bending the knee to him. It's really an ego thing for a lot of these guys who are out there and doing this crazy stuff. But all right, we'll take a quick break early on in the show. We got to get to some other things. We got to make sure to fix some things that might be broken in the studio we're in right now. And then we'll get going again. But this is Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show right here live at KSEV in Houston, Texas.
Our partners that help bring you the program, it's the folks over at Relief Factor. You can eliminate everyday aches and pains by incorporating Relief Factor into your daily regimen. You want to be pain-free, whether it's, you know, you're sore from exercise, whether you're sore from just mobility, whether it has to do with old injuries, sports injuries, age, whatever it is. If pain has slowed you down, imagine what getting even part of that freedom would feel like, getting part of that freedom back. That's what Relief Factor's three-week quick start wants to help you with. That could be your first step. It supports your body's natural inflammatory response that causes all the aches and the soreness and stiffness and discomfort. And it targets inflammation that can keep you from exercising and enjoying the things that you love. It's a 100% drug-free formula. It's made with research-backed ingredients like the omega-3s, resveratrol, all designed to support relief from everyday exercise-related pain. My husband played hockey. And he has knees. Oh, his knees are just, like his right knee particularly is just garbage, according to him. And he takes Relief Factor to help with that every day, especially like workout days. Maintains those healthy joints and muscles. You're going to see an improvement. So try it. It's a 3-week quick start. It's just $19.95. ReliefFactor.com is where you can get it, or call 800-4-RELIEF. And bring your pain. Start your new year off right by putting your pain under control. That's ReliefFactor.com, 800-4-RELIEF. Tell them Dana sent you.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
The new year means new health goals, not just for your body, but for your finances too. But did you know financial health is directly related to identity protection? You need LifeLock because your personal info is in endless places that are outside of your control. It only takes one mistake, and not even your mistake, to expose you to identity theft and lost funds. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. In fact, restoration is guaranteed or your subscription money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft alone. Resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. It's time for a Quick Five on The Dana Show, D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio, if you want to check her out. And X on Twitter, a great ways to stay connected to everything going on in her orbit and everything going on about this show. All right. The Indiana Hoosiers are college football's national champions. This is for the first time ever for the school, which just a few short years ago was an embarrassment to college football, and now is the best team in the land solely because of the guy they hired to be their head coach. I think that is the opinion of a lot of people. Here is the final call from that game.
A century of futility is forgotten. The Indiana Hoosiers are the kings of college football.
It is crazy to hear it and to have people talking about that today. I know you might not care a lot about college football on this show. It might not be something we talk about all the time. And honestly, a late pick in that game is something that kind of surprised me. I kind of thought Miami was going to march down the field and win the game. That did not happen. So Indiana, IU, is now a probably perennial powerhouse in the world of college football, which is just crazy to say out loud to me and many people who remember how bad they were a short few years ago. But Kurt Cignetti is responsible for so much good that's happened there and the likelihood of doing it again. I actually did see in an interview that he said he's going to take one day off. That would be today, and get back to work tomorrow on the next year's team. which is hilarious to me. All right, some other things out there that I saw. I thought this was interesting. A list on BuzzFeed went viral of young people saying that they don't feel like real adults. And these are the moments in their life that make them feel like they're pretend adults. Now, we can absolutely laugh at this together because many of these things are quite stupid on this list. But I'm going to give them to you because I thought they were entertaining. Wearing business attire so you look like you know what you're talking about was the number one thing I put on this list. Some version of dressing up fancy for work and then thinking that I know more than I do, or at least other people think that I know more than I do, is hilarious to me. Own it, man. Own the suit if you throw one on for a work function. I don't feel like a pretender in it. Filing taxes was number two. Signing all of those forms is something that people mentioned as feeling like they're a pretend adult when they do it. Try buying a house is what I would say to anyone that feels like filing taxes is weird. You sign a ridiculous amount of paperwork the first time you buy a home, and you don't care at all about any of the things you're signing. You're like, I just want the house. Just whatever. This is fine. I don't even know what this is. I'm not even really reading this one. I imagine you don't do much more reading as you buy other homes. But that was my experience with the first house we bought, was we read nothing. Investing and planning for retirement was number three on this list, even though a whole bunch of people of any age should be doing this. This is the kind of thing that would be good for you, and you'll be happy about it later in life if you are doing it sooner. But I get where some people say in their 20s and whatnot might say that that is something that feels like it's a pretend moment and not a real moment. But again, I laugh at most of this, partly because I think the whole idea of a pretend adult is hilarious. And part of the reason maybe that some people struggle in, say, workplaces. I think once you are of a certain age, just live life the way you're supposed to live it, man. Stop saying things like adulting, because it's annoying to a lot of the rest of us out there. All right, another story out there that I saw that I thought was funny and maybe lands in the face of that last one. A study found that parents are desensitized to gross stuff. The amount of gross things that you experience once you have children, whether this is bowel movements, vomits, all kinds of things, it just makes you much more desensitized to having something happen with you or anyone around you in your life that, say, before might have made you feel a lot queasier. It's essentially a version of how doctors behave as more and more they get used to some of the things that happen inside, say, hospitals. I thought this was really funny. I thought that it was one of the many ways that says you have a badge of honor of some kind by being a parent. And, you know, it's just, it's another aspect of, yeah, my kid's done that. Yeah, that was horrible. I do remember the first time my mom told me about a story where one of us injured ourselves seriously. It would be me and how I broke my arm. I think I was in second grade when I did it, and her reaction to it, because the arm was broken in three places. Bone was almost sticking out of places it shouldn't be sticking out of. And she panicked a lot. And then when my brother destroyed his arm in I think grade school too, and I say that lightly, but I think it was true, a much less fear. My mother was much more equipped to handle it because I broke my arm first. That's what you get when you have boys, I guess. All right. At one last story, too, before we take a break, and I just think this is kind of funny. A woman was throwing gym weights around in a fight at a gym. This happened in Texas. Seems like a bad place to get into a fight. That stuff's heavy. It's not going to be easy to fight with it. But all right, we'll talk about that more later. Greg Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
You want to make sure that you're protected when you're online. So many people make purchases online. I mean, you schedule your kids' stuff online. Schools have portals. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. And you want to make sure that all of your devices are locked down, plus your finances, plus your identity. So this is where Webroot comes in. They have Webroot Essentials. They also have Webroot Total Protection, which is an all-in-one device privacy identity protection that takes the guessing game out of cybersecurity. You can protect your entire digital life with this stuff. VPN, cloud backup, they watch out for your private information, making sure it doesn't pop up on the dark web. But you can protect your entire family with Webroot Total Protection. Multiple devices, multiple users, and it runs, it scans 6 times faster and takes up 33 times less space than Norton, McAfee, and all of these other popular antivirus softwares that are out there. You really need something that is sophisticated that watches multiple fronts, and that is what Webroot Total Protection does. And right now you can get 60% off by visiting webroot.com/Dana. 60% off, limited time only though, at webroot.com/Dana. Live a safer digital life with Webroot.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
Milo's Pro Rewards members, go big during Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Buy more and save more with up to 20% off job site essentials like primed finger joint boards when you spend $3,000 or more. Plus, get up to 25% off PVC DWV pipes when you spend $250 or more. Shop Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid through 123. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there to talk about. Let's get right to it. The President of the United States went to Davos just before he boarded the plane to fly over there. He answered some questions from the press. You know, I will say this. Anyone who claims that Trump is, you know, cognitively not all there, which the left occasionally likes to do, this flies in the face of that all the time. No matter what he says, he's willing to walk up and take questions from anybody. That is so different than Biden and the auto pen in chief that until it stops happening, I don't think you can actually say that Trump is losing it. No matter what his answers are to these questions, by the way, the fact that he's willing to do it so often and so very often gives obviously answers that at least make sense. If you agree or disagree with them, I don't care. But they at least make sense. It's just, it's one of the easiest arguments against that. And it's sort of funny to watch Democrats do it after they ignored the obvious version of it with the last guy in office. But anyway, Trump was asked about his first year in office, which he officially hit the 1 year mark. And he had some obvious things to say about it and how good he thinks he's doing.
Think of it, 1 year. I don't think there's been a term like it. I don't think any president has had a better first year than we've had. In terms of success, again, we've taken our country from a failure with open borders, no business, everything going badly, terrific inflation, the highest inflation in history, prices that are through the roof, and we've brought prices down. We have very little inflation. We have a great economy, and the prices are coming down still further. But I inherited a mess, and now we have the hottest country anywhere in the world.
Hottest country in the world, according to President Trump. I know that audio is always hard to hear when he's standing outside a plane, but I wanted to play it. That is his assessment of year one. I think that some people would probably say one of the things they don't notice as much as Trump is saying it is true is the lowering of prices. Inflation certainly has stopped, and it's not as bad, nowhere near as bad. Stopped is not the right word, but it's nowhere near as bad as it was before. So that is definitely a success of President Trump. But prices actually coming back down is a uniquely hard thing to do, especially for the president of the United States. But we'll see how that goes. That really is more up to the consumer to stop buying the things that we don't want to buy at certain prices and hopefully cause those prices to go back down. But I do think the economy, society is much better off than it was recently. So I fully agree with President Trump that what he's done in the first year is great compared to what was happening before. There's one other piece of audio I want to play. I know he's also still outside the plane. And to be honest, this isn't even really newsworthy. I just like it because I'm a Giants fan.
They got a great coach. I like the coach. I like his brother. They came up to see me with about 3 months ago. They came up to see me in the White House. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
With the mother and father, because the mother likes me and the father likes me. And I think they like me. And he's a great coach, and he's going to do well with the Giants, just like his brother does so well. They are... They got something very special in their blood, and I'm happy for the Giants.
I love that. I love that Trump weighed in on John Harbaugh being hired as the head coach of the New York Football Giants, my favorite football team and a uniquely terrible team this last year. I will just say the world of the NFL quickly is hilarious. That very good coaches who seem like they have very little that deserves to be at their shoulders as far as the reason that their team might have lost in a playoff game or whatnot, are getting fired. They wind up out of jobs. It's crazy. John Harbaugh is one of those coaches that you didn't necessarily think would be available, but he is. And now the Giants are very happy to have him, as the president of the United States himself has said. All right, let's move on to something else. A big story that's been breaking today. Ilhan Omar is going to be investigated by the House Oversight Committee because of her surging net worth. A lot of people are going to call this political persecution. They're going to say that they're going after Ilhan because she's on the wrong side of the political aisle, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the reason it makes a tremendous amount of sense, simply legally. You find out there's a tremendous amount of fraud, a crazy amount of fraud in Minnesota. You find out that Ilhan has backed a lot of those organizations and sort of used her political might to benefit some of those organizations that wound up getting so much of the fraud. Yes, it's all tied to the Somalian community. Yes, obviously something Ilhan Omar seems to care about a lot, but that's not the only reason to do it. It's following the money and following the influence, following both things at the same time. And it seems as though they're going to collide in a place where Ilhan Omar is likely to be responsible for some of this stuff. But here was Fox News breaking this story earlier today that the House is going to probe her financial disclosures and ask some more questions about how she's made so much money in such a short amount of time. Her salary, $174,000, of course, like anyone else that serves our country in a role like hers. Her net worth, $30 million, which seems like she's doing Nancy Pelosi levels of well as far as how she's investing that money.
Woman Ilhan Omar's net worth went up nearly $30 million. The question is how. Here's what we know. Omar's husband, a former political consultant, owns a venture capital firm based in Washington, D.C., and a winery in California. Take a look at these numbers. In 2023, Omar disclosed a maximum of $50,000 in assets at the winery. The next year, Dana, that number increased to $5 million. Meanwhile, her husband's company, Rose Lake Capital, reported a maximum of $1,000 in assets in 2023. The next year, it was $25 million. Despite that, Omar denied being a millionaire earlier this year, posting on X, quote, "I barely have thousands, let alone millions." House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer tells Fox News an investigation is underway, writing, quote, "The committee is working on addressing ethics concerns regarding Representative Omar and her spouse, and we hope to have an update soon."
I hope to hear that update soon, sooner rather than later. And I hope that people actually eventually are held responsible for the ridiculousness of the amount of money they make while serving the country in Washington, which we know they're not doing. It's ridiculous to say it that way. These politicians don't serve the people at all. They serve themselves, and you can see it in their ballooning net worth. And I just really think that one of the biggest wins for Trump in the next, say, couple of years, if not next couple of months, might be catching some of this political fraud, abuse, ridiculousness, corruption, and getting some people out in the streets that are in actual trouble that are names that we know. I would like to see some of that happen. It is odd, too, I will put this out there, that all of these Epstein files continue to come out. And the one thing that hasn't really happened in any of that information that's come out, other than Bill Clinton looking like an even guiltier guy than he was before in some of his connections to Epstein, is anyone else in a huge position of power politically getting in much trouble. Of course, they had hoped it would be Trump the whole time. And of course, it hasn't been at all so far. But that is kind of amazing. It feels similar to me, and it's a very different story in the sense that I'd like the bad guys very much to be caught. Anyone that helped enable and, you know, create the ring of sex abuse that existed around Jeffrey Epstein and child abuse that existed around him deserves to be in a whole lot of trouble. But it feels similar in how media handled Trump's taxes, saying that there were going to be these big, giant things that you'd find out about him whenever the taxes came out. And then inevitably, they did come out. The New York Times and I think others got leaked versions of it, and it was nothing. This feels similar to that. I guess the best way to say this is that if you're someone on the left who continues to believe that the press is about to give you that giant win you think you're getting about Trump, you're an idiot to still believe them. You've been an idiot for a while to believe them, but even more so now than ever before. Fool me once, shame on me sort of thing. This is fool me 25 times if you still believe media when they say, don't worry, this is coming, we just have to get a little more information, or you believe the politicians on the left who say the same thing. All right, there's one other thing I did want to play. I thought this was pretty interesting. Howard Lutnick was having a conversation at Davos this morning, and was talking about the one-year anniversary of President Trump in the office of the White House and how big of a change that has been for reversing the effects of attempted globalization. A global economy is bad for the United States, meaning something that actually replaces the U.S. dollar from a global standpoint. That's the game. That's the plan. There's a whole lot of aspects to that that would be bad for us if they occurred. But nonetheless, I think it's interesting to hear someone like Lutnick say, in just a year, there's been a big impact on how this changes things and how this pushes us in a certain way. Here we go.
Think about what globalization is. Let's find the cheapest labor in the world and do it. And what that means is that the workers in Ohio who make cars, in Michigan who make cars, everybody, remember, once upon a time, Intel made semiconductors, and now they're all made in Taiwan. Why have we allowed our industrial base in America and really in Europe and in the UK to be just completely hollowed out beneath us? It didn't work for the workers. It didn't work for our economy. What it did is it exported our economy to the rest of the world. And so how did the U.S. grow? Kind of about the same as the rest of the world, right? We were in the twos. They were in the high ones. Now what's happened? Think about it. We're at the one-year anniversary of Donald Trump. In the third quarter, we grew 4.3%. And I'm telling you, in the first quarter where we're in right now, I think we're going to grow over 5%. The $30 trillion U.S. economy is now going to be growing at 5% or more because we are taking care of ourselves. We finally have an industrial.
We're incentivizing creating things here. Essentially, another way to say this, an easier way to understand it, is that President Trump is about America first in one very important way, doing as much as we can to return more aspects of our economy to our country. We don't want to rely on China for certain production of things. We don't want to rely on other countries that can then leverage that capability over us if they need to at some point later. Also, these tariffs that are incentivizing companies to create products right here in the United States that circumvent those tariffs and then are capable of being sold to the American people at a cheaper price. Everyone who says tariffs are taxes ignores the idea that things could be created without tariffs if they're made here at home. They constantly pretend that's not a thing. Like, yeah, tariffs are just taxes and you're paying them and the world is worse off and your life is worse because of them. When the reality is that if these companies stop exporting all of their jobs out of so many places that don't benefit us at all, that things would be better. We'd make more money as a society and we'd have the ability to buy more American-made things that are tariff-free, baby. All right. On that note, we will take a quick break. After the break, there is one other hilarious thing that I saw out there that I have to talk about. For some reason, texts are now leaking. First, it was texts that were leaked between President Trump and a different world leader. And now Trump has put some exchanges between him and Emmanuel Macron on Truth Social. And Politico did a deep dive trying to tell us what Macron really meant when he was writing certain things to Trump. And it is line by line stupid. It starts with actually breaking down my friend, which is the beginning of the message from Macron to Trump, him calling Trump his friend. Politico thought you needed to break down why that happened. This is hilariously left-sided bullcrap, and I have to talk about it. So that coming up and more in just a bit. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Everybody has, you know, diverse options when it comes, you should, when it comes to self-defense. I always carry. I have no problems with throwing lead downrange to protect myself or my loved one. But I also understand, too, as we've talked about many times before, that, you know, you're not always afforded the exercise of your Second Amendment rights. You're not always afforded the right of self-defense. There are local restrictions, municipal restrictions, maybe private property restrictions where you are barred or disabused of your Second Amendment rights. And so you want to make sure that you're protected. We've all seen the crime rates, and we all see Soros prosecutors not wanting to actually go and put these people behind bars and get them off the street. So you need to protect yourself. Burn a gun is a way to do that. If you are have your rights abridged elsewhere, adapt and find a creative way to fill in that gap. And this is where the burn a gun comes in. Now, the one I'd recommend to you is the CL, short for compact launcher, the most compact. It's roughly the size of an iPhone. But all of them, the burn a gun shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away. And here's the thing. There's no background checks. There's no waiting periods. There's no tax stamp. There's none of that. And it doesn't care about gun-free zone signs because it's not a gun. college kids who cannot carry because they're 20, not 21 yet. They live on their own to go to school. This is a great option for them as well. So they don't have to be unprotected. Walk into the parking garage, walking around campus if they have a late class. Visit Byrna.com/Dana. Get your Byrna CL today. Byrna. Byrna.com/Dana. Ready when you are.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
If you like what you hear and want to support the show, the easiest free way to do it is to follow the podcast and leave a rating and review. Seriously, 30 seconds from you helps keep this show going strong. I appreciate you.
This is The Dana Show. You can check her out, D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X. Great ways to stay connected to her on Twitter. I still call it at Radio Craig C. If for some reason you want to pay attention to me and my occasional tweets about sports and not necessarily about politics, I'll try to do more interacting. I find more and more people are following me as I mention it and follow and talk about it on the show. So thank you to everybody doing that, even if I'm still doing social media poorly. All right. I mentioned this before the break, and I do want to pay it off. Politico has a Macron decoded story out there. President Trump shared what seemed to be a fairly straightforward message from Emmanuel Macron to him. He put it up on Truth Social. This is a text exchange in which Macron essentially is asking for a couple meetings, dinner in Paris, and then maybe a G7 summit of some kind. And again, the message itself is fairly straightforward. The only moment of what I'd call even contention is when Macron says within the message, "I don't understand what you're doing with Greenland," meaning we might need more of a conversation for me to get a better sense of why you're so interested in acquiring Greenland and having the U.S. protect it. But even in that part of the message, Macron is not saying I can't be convinced that why you're doing this doesn't make sense. Of course not. It's a text. But Politico decided to break it down. And my favorite part of the breakdown is right at the beginning, where the beginning of the message says, "my friend," and Politico seemed like it needed a 4-paragraph description of why Macron would title a or send a text to his friend, President Trump, and call him "my friend." This is part of that. The French president is calling President Trump his friend, as he has done publicly, and some meetings between the leaders have, in fact, gone well. But the two have a very difficult relationship at best, amid knuckle-crunching encounters and Trump's jabs over Macron's diplomatic endeavors and energy. All of this is Politico's breakdown and assessment of "my friend" being used as a sentence there. That to me is hilarious. That's some stuff that you don't see a whole lot of, and I really, really enjoyed as I saw it being a thing that came out. All right, other stuff out there beyond this, or well, more of this story actually real quick. We are totally in line with Syria. Multiple paragraph discussion about how they actually do agree on what they need to do to protect the world from any sort of threat there. We can do great things on Iran. And then, as I said, eventually the part, "I do not understand what you're doing in Greenland." And this is a multi-paragraph description of how Macron actually is using coded language and is intent on attacking Trump at some point for the position on it. I will say this before I move on from this topic, because there's something much more fun out there that I wanted to talk about. I think that if world leaders eventually had an open mind to discuss why President Trump, much like a whole lot of other leaders in the United States before him, have said Greenland is vitally important to our national security, if they had an open mind, I think they'd be convinced that what Trump is doing makes more sense than they want to believe. I don't think they'll have an open mind. I don't think they'll have a conversation about that valuably. These are also leaders of countries in the NATO alliance that do not spend anywhere near the amount of money on protection they're supposed to spend, so that the U.S. doesn't feel like we're protecting the rest of the world via that alliance. That is something we're doing now. But we will see what happens there. I am definitely interested in seeing how that goes, to say the very least. All right, one other thing out there. I thought this was interesting. A brand new study looked into the desires of a guy as we get older, the adult, the sexual desires, I guess the easiest way to say it. Most people believed that just like women, men would lose interest in certain things as they got older. Say in your 20s, you might be more interested than in your 40s. This proved it totally wrong. Apparently, men are even more interested than ever before in their late 30s and early 40s, according to science. That's interesting for a lot of people out there. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Gomes filling in on The Dana Show.
The folks who helped make the program possible, Patriot Mobile, with whom I never had an issue yesterday. You had all of these outages. They offer the best service on all major networks. So you never, ever, I've never had an issue. I keep, you know, this is like the second or third time that I've heard about all of these nationwide cell phone outages, and I never had it. They got premium prioritized service, all three major U.S. networks. You're getting reliable coverage everywhere, no matter what. Backed by a 100% U.S.-based customer support team, they can help get you set up in minutes. They have unlimited data plans and mobile hotspots. They have plans that they can tailor for businesses and families of all sizes. It doesn't matter. And they offer everything that you expect from top-tier carriers. And every dollar you spend on your cell phone bill doesn't work against you, like with all these other cell phone companies that donate hand over fist to Democrat candidates and gun control and DEI and the trans issue. With Patriot Mobile, every bit of your dollars for your bill service goes towards protecting religious liberty, life, and constitutional rights. Take a stand and make the switch today. If you canceled any other service because you didn't like their politics, you didn't like their ideology, I don't know why you wouldn't do it with your cell phone service, which is the bulk of where your dollars go in this in terms of services. Patriot Mobile is like-minded. They share your values, and they're going to save you money. So give them a call today, 972-PATRIOT. Visit at patriotmobile.com/Dana and use promo code Dana to get a free phone. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT, promo code Dana for your free phone.
You are tuning in.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
It's 2026, and the left still can't tell us what a woman is, even at the U.S. Supreme Court. The chairman of the Democrat Party likens Iranian freedom protesters to the shrieking anti-ICE demonstrations in Minnesota. And what will President Trump do now that Iran has started slaughtering its own people? I'm Greg Corumbus, inviting you to join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the top news, some good laughs, and we'll be done in less than 30 minutes. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's play this audio. This is a conversation about freedom of the press. You know, I'll be honest, before I even hit play on any audio, I'm kind of surprised that Don Lemon is the catalyst to a discussion about what is legal and what is illegal for people who are going to claim that they have the umbrella of freedom of the press to protect them. Not surprised in the sense that Don Lemon is an idiot who does things for attention that might get himself in this situation, but surprised that he's still relevant enough to be a dominant discussion point because of that. He's someone who seemed to have checked being a journalist at the door a long time ago. But nonetheless, we're having a conversation. He was part of a group that rioted and also invaded a church. They accused the pastor there of being a member of ICE. And I guess they wanted him to get citizens arrested by them. I don't know what the plan was, but you can't disrupt a church. That is a place that is protected legally from all of this. And even if you claim to be a member of the press, which Don Lemon is barely, if at all, a member of the press. He was at one point a member of very left-leaning news organizations. He's now what a lot of people call themselves, independent journalists. And that title, it can be anybody. Anybody can call themselves that. Not everyone deserves the title. But nonetheless, this is a discussion about some of what's going on there. The Deputy Attorney General, Todd Blanche, saying that certain protections don't apply the way that Lemon seems to think they do. And of course, he thinks this is all because he's a black man, a gay man in our country. and not because he might have actually broke some law. But here we go.
The freedom of the press extends to a lot of different areas. It does not extend to somebody just trespassing and being embedded with a group of rioters and being part of the group that storms inside of a church. So as our assistant attorney general said yesterday, we are absolutely investigating that conduct. And the fact that man, that Mr. Lemon, thought that was a good idea to do that and then to race away from it saying it was freedom of the press. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, we will see if that is actually a protected freedom of the press or not, because it sounds like to a lot of us, it's definitely not a protected freedom that you have all these reasons to think you'll be just fine. No one will come after me. No one will arrest me. And if they do, I'll make it racial and I'll make it about my sexual orientation. I'll make it whatever I can make it to make it not about the fact that I might have broken some laws. Another thing out there that I saw that I thought was pretty interesting, actually, Elon Musk made a huge donation to a political campaign. This is for an individual who's trying to replace longtime Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell. That's Nate Morris and his bid. Elon gave him $10 million. Musk is definitely still, it seems, aligned with the political side of the aisle that people think he's on, even after somewhat pulling back after the Doge stuff happened. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Doge didn't do as much as people wanted them to do. But I think Doge the entire time was going to be a way to recommend a bunch of spending go away, not necessarily have the authority to do it. So while they did have the authority to look into things, and that definitely made news several times, Doge in and of itself wasn't going to change the amount of waste, fraud, and abuse that happens in our country. But we actually need politicians in positions of political power to do that work for them. And I think Nate Morris is someone that obviously Elon Musk believes in that would be very different than Mitch McConnell, who many people saw as a rhino toward the end of his political career. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. But essentially, and this is the obvious way to say it, elections have consequences. They matter. What actually happens, who you put into positions of power may change the way you live your life for the good or for the bad of you and everybody around you. And case in point is actually what's going on in Virginia. So a couple different people have put lists together of some of the more ridiculous ideas that have been put forward now that there are Democrats in power in multiple positions within Virginia. And I think that one of the recaps of this was truly very good to show you how many terrible ideas can come forward very quickly right after you surrender power to a group of people that's interests are not aligned with you. They're not trying to do things that benefit you. Here's a list of some of those things. There's a proposed bill that would add a 4.3% tax on Uber Eats, Amazon, and other deliveries, a new tax, sales tax on admissions to a wide variety of businesses. They'd create two new higher tax brackets, 8 and 10% on people making over $600,000, a new 10% tax bracket for anyone making $1 million. They'd raise hotel taxes. The list goes on, and it's a lot of adding new taxes. They'd ban gas-powered leaf blowers for some reason in Virginia. A new personal property tax on landscaping equipment, which is hilarious to me that that's an idea. Allow people to cast their votes electronically through the internet, which would be very bad and easy for them to obviously cheat. I love that there was a politician that recently also said with a straight face that we should let people vote by phone. Just call in. Like, hey, it's me. This is my vote. Thanks. Bye. That's a terrible idea, of course, and people ridiculed it as such. But in Virginia, they're trying to pass versions of easier and easier voting, expand ranked choice voting, which doesn't usually end well for people, make it illegal to hand count ballots, which is insane. I don't know why you'd want to do that. You probably know why. I probably do know why you'd want to do that, actually. Assault weapons and large capacity magazines could be banned. All of these are ideas they've come up with very quickly. Of course, also the new governor there seems to be trying to oppose Trump in ways that might eventually get the Insurrection Act to need to be used against her and against people who are trying to prevent simple federal law enforcement officials, ICE agents, from doing their job. That is one of many fights. They also want to replace Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day, because why not? When you're barreling towards stupidity, just get further and further down that rabbit hole, I say. But that's just some of the ideas that they've put forward. Not all of these have passed. I'm not saying all of these are realities, thank God, in Virginia already. But it's just amazing to see. And it's amazing to watch how quickly things can change. or how quickly they can attempt to change things. And this should tell a whole lot of people who might feel like, hey, Trump's in power now. Things are going better than they were before. I don't need to show up and vote in midterm elections. Apathy is the biggest problem when your side is in a position of power, at least within the White House. And these sort of things are designed to make you obviously aware that apathy is your enemy, that it would be bad for you and for all involved if you sit out an election and don't vote because you think they can't possibly do too many bad things. Even if they get some lower level control here and there, they're still not the president. Oh boy, they seem like they can try a whole lot of stuff, at least in Virginia. All right, one last thing too that I thought was really interesting, a story that's breaking. Town Hall has some audio out there where they seem to catch some people saying things that make absolutely no sense. I'm not even going to play it, but I will tell you essentially what the claim is. The claim is that certain people are being trained on how to game our immigration system to get themselves asylum status or something like it in parts of our country. This is not surprising. Most people believe this. The immigrants in question are West African nationals. They are here in places like Ohio, and they're being trained on what to say, what to do, how to get themselves closer to having some sort of false legal status within our country. And then here's the last part, and the most damaging part of these claims. They're also being told that if they don't have a good enough route to become, you know, legally a part of our country, at least get a green card, something to that effect, an asylum status, they can just pay for it. Illicit means with certain judges who are willing to be bribed and bought off. Again, none of this is shocking and surprising. All of this is stuff we believe and think is happening all the time in our country. But then now they have people on camera, on record, saying that, yeah, I was told to do this and I find this avenue over here. And if I can't do that, I cut this check and give it to this person. And then that person will give it to whoever they need to give it to. And all of a sudden, a judge will rule in my favor. This is the latest bombshell version of discussion about how corrupt this stuff is. And yeah, I'm sure that someone will say that hearing this information and hearing from some of these immigrants who have been told certain things isn't the same as having the smoking gun proof that this bribe went to this judge who then passed this person into our country that shouldn't have been in here. But it feels like we're on that path. It feels like we're headed down the right set of streets that get us to the place where horrible things eventually are made public because many, many people are being told this. And actually, you know what? This lands in another place that I think is pretty valuable, and I'll be honest about it too. A deterrent is necessary to prevent people to come into this country, mostly because it spreads the word. And what I mean by that is when we stop allowing people in, when we're kicking people out the way we are, when we're doing certain things to, you know, slam the border wall shut, people tell other people. And that message gets passed through the cartel or whatever crazy horrible groups there are out there that do this. And eventually people just stop showing up, which is what we've seen at the border. A whole lot less people are trying to pass into our country right now because they've been told through the grapevine it's not a good time for that. This is the exact opposite demonstration where people are being told by other people within a community, I did this. It worked for me. You should do it over here. It'll work for you. We need to slam these doors shut too. And so I do think it's a valuable story and a big deal. And I know that Town Hall is getting a lot of traction on social media for it. I doubt a lot of mainstream media outlets will talk about this, but hopefully it leads us to that better version of receipts, that better version of information that eventually throws a whole lot of people in jail. Corrupt judges are a tremendously big part of the problem in our country right now. Whether that is judges who decide to rule one way and try to force even the president to not be capable of something here or there, whatever these grand rulings by these federal judges might be. But corrupt judges are certainly an aspect of society that's going to take more effort than, say, just voting different people into positions of power politically to actually outroot them. But this feels like a step in the right direction, to say the very least. All right, we'll take a quick break. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. It's time for a Quick Five on The Dana Show, D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio, on X, on Twitter, are great ways to stay connected to her and everything that's going on there. I do think this is interesting that more and more people are traveling to Davos and having conversations about what should and shouldn't happen in our society. And some of that is going viral. One of the biggest complaints was from Gavin Newsom saying that he wished a bunch of people brought knee pads. And that's landing more and more places. That's landing a lot of places. I think Fox News even aired it. So you know what? I'm going to air it here as part of the Quick Five.
I can't take this complicity. People rolling over. I should have brought a bunch of knee pads for all the world leaders. This guy's playing folks for fools. And it's embarrassing. This is diplomacy with Donald Trump. He's a T-Rex. You mate with him or he devours you.
It's crazy. That's the only reason that Newsom is there, apparently, to undercut any of the value that Trump has and any of the discussions he's having with people. All right. Other things out there I saw. I like this Dear Abby. Someone wrote to a self-help column and asked what they should do. They are a grandparent, and they said their daughter is making their grandchildren into, quote, menaces. This is because a whole lot of people of a certain age, I'm a millennial, so it's really me and any younger generation, these generations feel like you can't parent the same way generations parented us or people before this. And so the kids are becoming terrible. A whole lot of kids do whatever they want. I actually watched a kid melt down inside of a Target just the other day. And grandma was there. So it was grandma and ma together. And I saw grandma pull the kid out of the line where the kid was melting down. I don't know what they did or didn't get, but they were very upset about something. And I watched grandma keep looking at mom, her daughter, and say, like, we need to do something about this. We need to do something about this. And nothing was happening. And I watched this, other person get very upset that they didn't think they could do more to scold the child in the moment, making a giant scene in a public place. I feel like a lot of people are dealing with this right now. But anyway, the article goes on to say, how do I actually confront this? What do I do? And here's my favorite part of the advice. The advice given in the self-help column said that when you're alone with the kids, when you're being left to babysit them, you can treat them a little bit differently than when you're not alone with them. Of course, you can't remake everything that parenting is. But if you want to scold them a little bit more or a little bit less, and you're being given the option to watch the kids, that's a conversation you might be able to have with the parent. But it's something you also can feel more capable of doing. And I did love that advice. I'm not sure everyone will think that advice is good, but I did think it was interesting that, yeah, if you're being asked to watch kids a lot and you can't control them, finding a way to do that for you and for them might make more sense. One last thing, and I thought this was interesting too. A brand new phrase out there is being thought of as a dating cop-out. People are getting broken up with and being told, you're too good for me. And this is something that more and more people online are saying now. If you hear it, it's obviously a lie. I love that people have to be walked through that. That if someone breaks up with you and they tell you the reason is that you're too good for them, that might not be true. But dating forums and other experts who are putting stuff on social media, I use experts very liberally there, are people apparently that are making sure you know that that's a line and a lie, and it's happening a whole lot now. People don't break up with you for them or for you. They break up with you because they don't like you anymore. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there to talk about. The rhetoric that's going on right now involving ICE agents from the left is insane. That part is obvious. You know that part. I know that part. It's more than just that. Beyond being insane, what it actually is to me is very similar to defund the police, just morphed to be a new group. The left loves to vilify some form of law enforcement. They love it. They think that it helps them with their voters for whatever reason. The latest is the newly sworn in governor in New Jersey, Mikey Sherrill, and her quoting of the Declaration of Independence to compare ICE enforcing immigration law to the British, which is insane during the Revolutionary War. Of course, this is crazy. I'll go ahead and play it. But it's the same thing, new font, I guess. As the young kids say, it's similar to what it was before, but you've changed the font of it. I've butchered their slang version of describing that. But nonetheless, this is defund the police in 2026. Which is defund ICE and vilify ICE and tell people to stand in the street and fight ICE, all those kinds of things.
And yes, he has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures.
Insane. It's ridiculous that they're all clapping for this long. For this insane thing that was said. Let them continue. I'm not going to change this audio.
And this election proved that the people of New Jersey recognize the parallels. That we see a president illegally usurping power, unconstitutionally enacting a tariff regime to make billions for himself and his family.
And screwing the rest of us. Ah, darn it. This horrible, terrible person and the things he's doing. This type of rhetoric shouldn't work, and yet it does so very often. Although I feel that when Trump won the popular vote, there was some version of an indictment on this version. This, the talking points of Trump is evil, Trump is bad, orange man bad, everything he does is awful. But they just reinvent the wheel. They find a new way to get to the same point, to, you know, walk down the same path to get to the eventual. He's a horrible dictator monster person, and this is how he's doing his dictator monstering person stuff, and you need to be very afraid and vote us all into power so that we do terrible, awful things behind the curtain that help nobody and raise taxes and make your life worse. Biden was in charge and things got terrible. Trump is in charge. Things are getting better, but who cares? That part doesn't matter because we want this guy to be evil, and we want the law enforcement officials who work for ICE to be seen as the enemy by the everyday American. That's bad, but that, as I said before, and I'll say it again, this is the latest version of defund the police, just changing it a bit. All right. Mamdani was on The View, and a bunch of the things that he said have gone viral. I'm not sure exactly where I want to start. There was a moment where Whoopi Goldberg said to him, if you can do all the things you're promising to do, not only will you change the city of New York, but you'll change the country. Which is a terrifying thing to hear her say, because the admitted democratic socialist who's proud of what he is basically believes in communism. That's the funny part that I don't know if funny is the right word, but that's to me the darkly amusing part in this, is that I'll keep mentioning that anyone who's a democratic socialist inevitably believes that we should slowly develop a socialist and then communist version of society. It's the long run to the same terrible thing where you say that you're going to work within the constructs of capitalism for the time being, and then slowly and surely buy as many things as you can for the government to own, and then do more and more that essentially just takes all our freedoms away and winds up really bad for a whole lot of people, most of us included in that, whoever you are listening to this show, whatever side of the political aisle you're on, this ends poorly for you if Mamdani gets what he wants long term. But I will play some of this audio and him saying that there's no problem too big and too small. We're going to fix everything. We care about everything. We're going to spend a bunch of money on universal child care. Oh, yeah, because fraud's not at all a potential concern when you're barreling a ton of money into child care at a state or a local level. Here we go.
I'll be honest, it feels incredible.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, this is the dream of a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And we've always wanted to build a city government that moves as fast as New Yorkers do. Mm-hmm. You know, when a New Yorker's trying to walk somewhere, you don't get in their way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. City government, it hasn't felt like that for a long time. So we've wanted to say that there's not going to be any problem too big or too small for us to address. So day one, we put bad landlords on notice right after that inauguration speech. Mm. You know, day six, we fixed a bump on the Williamsburg Bridge. Day eight, we announced more than $1 billion in funding for universal child care.
Oh, wait, is that last one there? Is that going to be potentially a whole bunch of horrible fraudulent things that might happen that we're seeing happen other places? It's crazy to watch him say and do the amount of things that he's saying and doing publicly and convincing a lot of people that this would be good stuff. I'll play another little piece of it. This is where he says he's totally for abolishing ICE and that they're not doing the thing that they're supposed to be doing. This essentially is leaning into the Mikey Sherrill thing too, saying that ICE is the bad guy, they're the enemy. And I'll say something else before I even play on this. There is audio of ICE agents pulling up to protesters inside a vehicle and saying, the person we're trying to arrest is a child predator. There's someone who is like had sex crimes against children that they were found guilty of. We are trying to get this person and bring them out of this community and out of this country. And you're stopping us. You're preventing us. That's crazy. That's ridiculous, because that's the part that the left doesn't want to talk about. The logistics don't matter. They want you to see the enemy as an overarching thing with no sort of potential avenues for constructive conversation. No version of, hey, what's going on here? Do the actual details matter, yes or no? To them, no. The overarching message is all that matters. Here's Mamdani saying he'd support fully abolishing ICE, which of course would be bad for our society, much like open borders was bad for our society.
Mm. Well, Mr. Mayor, in light of recent events, there have been renewed calls from prominent Democrats to abolish ICE. Mm-hmm. I want to know where you come down on abolishing ICE and if you believe that ICE has any legitimate law enforcement role.
You know, I am in support of abolishing ICE, and I'll tell you why. Because what we've...
This is crazy. Of course, you wouldn't get these applause in a non-view audience in New York City. But again, and this is the desire of the left to oversimplify these topics, to make the idiots support them. There's no nicer way to say that. That's the way to say it. They want you to believe that this would be the right path forward. We abolish the bad guy that we told you existed. Of course, that bad guy is connected to the other bad guy in President Trump. So you need that to go away too. We need to impeach him, as we've tried multiple times to do it. Yada, 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 again and again. Same platform, same message, a new set of variables. But I'll let a part of this continue, because it's just crazy to say that they're not doing the thing that they are actually being asked to do by our society, because they absolutely are doing that, by the way. ICE is actually handling the business they have been asked to handle, and it's not a nice-looking thing. When you go and ask people, well, not ask people, you apprehend people who are unwilling to leave this country, who have no right to be here, when you have to go catch them, it doesn't look good. It's not something that's fun to watch or fun to see, and that's the part of this that's crazy. I've heard people describe ICE as thugs. And yet the reality to me is that these are a lot of individuals who don't know what it looks like when police deal with people that don't want to listen to police. That happens often. You see a lot of situations where police wind up having to intervene, and it's not the, you know, everything is nice and rainbows, a version of conversation the left wants us to have. But here's a little bit more from Mamdani.
what we see is an entity that has no interest in fulfilling its stated reason to exist.
Wrong.
We're seeing a government agency that is supposed to be enforcing some kind of immigration law, but instead what it's doing is terrorizing people, no matter their immigration status, no matter the fact.
Totally wrong. Absolutely wrong. The amount of people who've been deported during this administration and rightfully deported is through the roof. And we're going to see a lot more of it. And a whole lot of people have self-deported. That's one last thing I'll say before I move on to one other topic and then we take a break. But I just think that this is so interesting that they dangled the carrot of money out there to a bunch of people who were here illegally. They said, if you show up willingly and if you go, we'll give you some money and we'll refresh some of these status things that are a problem for you so you can try to come into the country legally. Can't come back in illegally, but if you want to try to come in the right way, we'll go ahead and potentially work with you on that. I think that's profoundly interesting that a whole lot of people have said yes to that offer. About a million or so people have been like, yeah, okay, we'll do that. That sounds great to us. That is totally different than the narrative from the left that these are innocent victims who are actual U.S. citizens that are being removed from society wrongly. You barely see stories like that where people that are rightfully here are apprehended by ICE and put into a deportation process that sends them somewhere else. Yeah, by the way, I'll say one last thing about this, a caveat for anyone that doesn't know it. If you disrupt ICE during their right to, you know, do some sort of operation, if they're in the middle of an investigation or in the middle of trying to catch somebody that's here illegally and you disrupt them, they can detain you. They can't arrest you. They can't put you in jail, but they can detain you. They can stop you. They can contact local law enforcement and you can get in legal trouble for the thing you did. That seems to be something a lot of people aren't aware of. ICE can legally detain U.S. citizens who are interfering in their investigations. That's not against the law. One last thing, though, and I want to play this, too. This is Scott Jennings absolutely rejecting something on CNN where people start to say, you can't call these people illegal anymore because we're trying to push the goalposts. We're trying to change the narrative, use words like undocumented, immigrant, whatever it is, to try to convince many Americans, stupid Americans nonetheless, that what's happening isn't what they're actually seeing. And Scott Jennings fully rejected this idea on CNN. This was great.
They have to chase
now
down
illegals. Now we're
going to tell
local law enforcement.
You're saying illegals as if they're only targeting.
How about the government comes clean if you're saying they're doing that? Doesn't seem like they're doing that. Their actions do not speak
recognize,
to those words.
I recognize
you don't get
you
to say the word illegals
the
anymore.
And but you this, have.
The diverse. I don't.
The percentage.
Who are you to tell me what I can and can't? I've never met you, brother. Listen, I can say whatever I want. They're illegal aliens. And that's what the law calls them. Illegal aliens. That's what I'm going
to
call them.
I love that somebody sitting next to him was like, you can't call them illegal aliens anymore. You can't use that term. That's not what the yes it is. And Scott Jennings like, I've never met you, brother. How can you tell me what I can and can't say? But that's a part of the plan. That's a part of the plan that you obviously are aware of and know about. If you listen to this show and shows just like this, you know that censoring speech in any way, shape or form is part of the agenda to then convince people that some of the things they're seeing with their own eyes are simply not true. And it's the most ridiculous trick that politicians try to play as magicians or whatever you want to call them, convincing you your own reality isn't real. And things like telling you that men can become women, I feel very much aligned with that. All right, we'll take a break. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
That's right. It's time for Florida Man on The Dana Show, D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter. Great ways to stay connected to her. I got three of them. These are crazy. Let's do them in ramping up order. The first one is less crazy than the next one. A dude got mad that his neighbor was blowing leaves onto his car And so he attacked his neighbor. Of course he did. The guy ripped a leaf blower out of somebody's hands. And there's even like viral audio of this in Delray Beach in Florida, where the guy who's holding the leaf blower says, "You've got a lot of nerve, bro." But the dude takes the leaf blower, stamps on it, crushes it, destroys it, and says, "Never, ever put leaves on my car again, darn it." So a crazy version of a fight that you think could have been settled with maybe just words. But this is Florida, so they have actions, not words, to figure that stuff out. The next story involves a woman, 37 years old, in Miami. She ordered a Lyft from a Family Dollar to take her home. When the Lyft driver arrived, she stole the car, which of course she did. Her name is Lindsay. She offered the Lyft driver some money at first and then eventually just forced the person out of the vehicle and took it, which is the kind of thing that I guess you'd expect to happen a lot more often in Miami or in Florida than anywhere else. That's not all. When police finally caught up to her and arrested her for stealing someone else's car, an easy crime to crack, by the way, because if you use your real name on the Uber app, when you order the car, they know who you are. They're able to track you down. But not just that. She also had a pink glass pipe device that was used with cocaine residue on it in her purse. She had Xanax and other stolen drugs on her. She seemed to be doing a whole lot of terrible things. When they confronted her about the vehicle that she had, she admitted to stealing it, saying that she needed it, and her mugshot also went viral because she looks about as crazy as you'd think she does. But a woman, 37 years old, stole an Uber driver's car in Miami. Luckily, no one was hurt, and the car has been returned. And then finally, and this is the craziest story, a shoplifting incident happened that escalated into, I guess, an almost dangerous situation. This happened at a Panera. I don't know how this went from shoplifting to what it went to. But someone who was hiding a shotgun shell in her mouth went into a bathroom at Panera and tried to ignite the shotgun shell with a lighter when getting picked up for a shoplifting charge. I think I even have audio of the Martin County Sheriff talking about the craziness of this and arresting a guy, excuse me, named Hugh that was doing this, not a woman. I'm glad that I got that wrong. But here we go. Let's play this audio.
They had no idea what they were dealing with until our suspect was in custody. He was aggressive towards them, meaning that he was confrontational. He didn't fight with them, but he was confrontational. He was swearing. They realized that what the suspect was actually doing was trying to set off a 12-gauge shotgun slug. It rarely happens, but bullets actually can fire if they're expose enough heat and fire. We see that in car fires with rounds going off. This could end catastrophically. A shotgun round, a slug round could penetrate the suspect, could penetrate our deputies.
Yeah, it could have done a lot of horrible things. Luckily, the guy is an idiot in Florida who was trying to set off the shotgun shell with just a lighter that he was holding to the bottom of it, and luckily it failed. If he were smarter, maybe things would have ended even worse, which is, you know, obviously great that no one got hurt, which is a crazy story out of Florida. A guy being like, "Don't arrest me for stealing this Panera, or I'm going to attack you with the shotgun shell." Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Lots of stuff to talk about. Fox broke some news earlier today when they talked about how the DOJ and FBI are reportedly subpoenaing the offices of Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, Attorney General Keith Ellison, Mayor Jacob Frey, many others. Ilhan Omar is someone who's going to be investigated for the ridiculous amount of money she's now worth compared to what she was worth just a short time ago. All of this matters. Here's, I think, Fox with the breaking story.
I want to get to the breaking news we have just heard. The FBI has apparently just served subpoenas to several officials here in Minneapolis, including members of the office of Governor Tim Walz. We will bring you more information as we get it on those subpoenas.
I hope that the subpoenas bring real information, and I hope the real information brings real penalties, and I hope people wind up actually in trouble for things. I hope all this happens. I hope the first part leads to the second part, because one of the big things you're hearing, and I will say this, that mostly Republican voters are happy with Trump. Poll after poll out there is saying for some reason that people are unhappy with what Trump has done. But if you dive deeper into that information, overwhelmingly conservative voters are still very much happy with the things that have happened. And honestly, polls to me are kind of stupid. The reason I say that is that every time the polls are wrong, all the people who devote so much of their attention to it, who, you know, focus on it and tell you how they can predict things based just on poll numbers, every time the polls get them wrong, they blame the polls. They're like, well, that wasn't done well, or we screwed up over here. It's not their fault for believing so much in this thing that's an inexact science and not really a science at all. And then every time they get the polls right, all the people out there, or every time the polls are correct in something, they claim like that happens all the time. They pretend as though it isn't exact science and they always know what's going to occur and they're always right about this when they're wrong a whole lot and they're mostly wrong about Trump and anyone within Trump's orbit, as we've seen time and again. But I just love that this time of year now, especially leading up to a midterm election where more of the political nerds will be talking than maybe the everyday American will be talking about things like poll numbers. I think that matters more to the everyday American during a presidential election. But nonetheless, and I say the nerds with some level of affection for them, they'll pretend as though they've got this right this time and they've never been wrong before. It's just like sports guys, the pundits in the world of sports who pretend they see everything coming until they're totally wrong about something. And then they act as though that's the only time they've been wrong. Or in the case of like a Stephen A. Smith, you forget what players are even on what teams. And I love Stephen A. Smith. I'm not trying to crap on him specifically, but they swing and miss a lot, and they don't really accept those swings and misses, is my point. Another thing out there that I thought was interesting that maybe rams this message home a little bit was CNN interviewing Trump voters in Iowa and asking what they thought of what he's done his first year in office. And some of these voters in Iowa are saying exactly what I'm saying. They're really happy with how things have gone. They're really glad, and they'd like to see more of what they've seen so far, not the opposite, which is what these poll people want to tell you, that, you know, Trump's disapproval numbers are through the roof and everybody's upset with what's happened here.
There's that saying, Trump was right about everything, and that's kind of how I'm feeling right now.
This breakfast conversation, our sixth visit with Betsy Sarcone, dating back to August 2023. Her shift beyond dramatic. A DeSantis, then a Haley voter, said she would vote for Joe Biden if Trump won the Republican nomination. But she changed her mind.
I think Biden probably changed me more than Trump. I think watching nothing be done, you know, for 4 years about an open border.
Now she gives Trump an A-, loves the immigration crackdown, just closed a big real estate sale, and thinks the economy is picking up. Sarcone laughed at Trump's 2020 election fraud claims when we first met. Another big change.
I'm starting to question the election of 2020, right?
He lost the election in 2020.
I don't know.
He lost the election in 2020.
I love that they dive into this person. They say, you know, in the last few years, they've changed their opinion a lot. One of the biggest reasons with that election stuff there is things have come out that demonstrate that there was cheating in elections. I'm not going to dive any deeper than that, but for people whose opinion has changed over the last few years, some of that is based on information that is coming out that is saying there was fraud over here, there were fake votes over here, there was this over there, and people are getting held accountable. And that's the goal. To go back to the beginning of this conversation, the thing about all the subpoenas being issued in Minnesota right now, and anybody potentially in trouble, Ilhan Omar among them too, I think that that's the end goal, is actually having receipts. Because the biggest part of the problem, and this is all the time for people on either side of any political issue, is the lack of concrete receipts. And I've said this before, I think on this show, and I've said it other places, one of the things you get told, and it's funny, you actually get told this by both sides of the political aisle, the left and the right can say this to you in response to, I need a little bit more proof with that thing you're saying. Oh, they're hiding it. Oh, you'll never see it. You'll never get the proof. It'll never be out there. these types of moves where you're subpoenaing people and hearing that this is all just political prosecution and we're attacking people because of what they believe or who they are, any of that crap, all of that is to dismiss the reality that justice might actually be served and that information might finally be made public by going through a system that's not, you know, great. It's not perfect. It has its own issues. It has its own flaws and corruption, too. But at least playing ball in that arena potentially can get you closer to people being held responsible for the terrible things that they do. And I think that would be the real win. If in the next 3 years you actually do see, and I hear this from people all the time on some of the other radio shows I work on, when they say, I want to see people in handcuffs. I want to see people arrested and held responsible. It feels like those days are coming, or at least we're getting closer to the potential for that. A case in point might be this story. And I'm not saying I even really care, and that might be a bold way to say it, but it's true, as to whether or not Don Lemon gets arrested for the crazy thing that he did and he was a part of in Minnesota, essentially bursting into a church and breaking laws like the FACE Act, among other things. He is now, of course, claiming that it's just because he's a gay black man that he's become the face of this, even though he wanted to be the face of it. He had his camera, his microphone, his social media account all going when he showed up at that. No one paid Don Lemon to be there. Who knows? Maybe they did. But anyway, he was there and he wanted to be at the forefront of it until some legal issues started to arise here. But the reason I reference this is I heard an immediate rejection in some media places. Oh, we don't want journalists arrested. We don't want this thing to start or this precedent to become a reality because it's bad. That's not why Don Lemon would get arrested. If he actually winds up being held responsible for the illegal things that were done here, it's not because he's a quote unquote journalist and he was trying to report a story. It's because he was an active participant in something that went beyond what is legally allowed for people to do. And I find that very amusing, that distinction can't be made by people that are trying to rush to the defense of Don Lemon and not anyone else out there. Even if they don't like Don Lemon, they're saying that this is just a bad thing. We don't want to see this happen. I want anyone, everyone who breaks the law to be held accountable for it. No one should be above the law. That's something Democrats believe sometimes. They pick and choose when they believe that. But here's Lemon saying that it's not about, you know, any of the things that I might have done wrong, being in a church where I'm not allowed to be and having a political demonstration that's not supposed to be there, et cetera, et cetera. It's really just because I'm a gay black guy who happens to be on the left.
And there's a certain degree of entitlement. I think people who are, you know, in the religious groups like that, it's not the type of Christianity that I practice, but I think that they're entitled, and that entitlement comes from a supremacy, a white supremacy. And they think that this country was built for them, that it is a Christian country, when actually we left England because we wanted religious freedom. It's religious freedom, but only if you're a Christian and only if you're a white male, pretty much. And so, yeah, I absolutely 100%, but it's an intimidation tactic. And, you know, I said, I don't understand how I've become the face of it when I was a journalist. I do understand that I'm the biggest name there. And I'm also, as I was on with my producers this morning, you know, you and Kylie talk all the time. My producers were saying, I said, how did I become the face of this? And my producer said, Don, you're a gay black man in America.
Please, of course, everyone is after you all the time, even though people often forget Don Lemon even exists anymore until he does some sort of political stunt that he then claims is somehow persecution against him. This is crazy. Although, actually, I want to relate it to another thing that I saw out there. There's an opinion piece in The Hill that came out today talking about how the Insurrection Act could be a dress rehearsal for interfering in the midterm elections or interfering in elections in general. And it's a deep dive into the ridiculousness of the left, claiming that what's happening right now, places like Minnesota or even Virginia, attempting to push the president into a place where he's going to use the Insurrection Act to actually allow federal law enforcement to do their job. I don't know how to say it more times. And I feel like I've said it a bunch in the 2 days I've filled in on this show. ICE has every right to remove people who are illegally in this country from this country. That is, in fact, their job. The left is pretending like that's not a thing, or they don't understand that aspect of it. And so if you interfere with that at a government level, whether that's a state or a local level, you are, in fact, interfering with something that is a right of the federal government to do. And so the Insurrection Act and a couple of the different uses of that Insurrection Act legally is a valid move to get these federal officials to get back to doing the work they're supposed to be doing without being undercut by these local politicians or statewide politicians that are doing political performances. So much of this is political performance right now. Mamdani was on The View. He got a ridiculous amount of applause for some of the things he said that are truly insane things, like crazy things and definitely communist things that would not go well if they actually were something that happened in our society. But he knows it's also performative to an extent, because certain aspects, I think, of policy, even for Mamdani, he knows they'll fail. He knows they won't succeed because they can't possibly be good decisions. I think he'll try way more stuff than he should. I don't think he is just a theatrical person. I think he is actually a devout believer in the terrible things that he says he stands for, things like democratic socialism, which is really just communism and other horrible stuff. But nonetheless, to go back to it and to relate it to the Insurrection Act, I feel like all of this is pushing us to a place where society is unstable, unsafe, where the everyday American is being asked to intervene in a legal operation by law enforcement officials at a federal level. And then some politicians seem to even hope that something truly awful and tragic happens, because it'll be a catalyst to another political discussion. I said this before, and I'll say it again. Apathy is the biggest enemy of politicians. They want you to care. They want you to care all the time about whatever is going on in our society, because they want you to vote and they want you to vote for them. And because of that lack of interest in letting you think that things are going okay somewhere on some level, they have to ramp up and be crazier all the time in how they talk about the evil, terrible, bad guy on the other side of the political aisle in order to get you to believe that you not only should be not voting for someone on, you know, the political right if you're on the left, but you actually should be actively harming people in your everyday life that you come across, which is insane. That isn't there. There's a lot of times, I know I got to take a break. I'll just say this quickly. There's a lot of times where I wonder, in a very simple interaction with another human being, and this could be anything, like I'm at the grocery store paying for my groceries, and I think in the back of my mind, if this person knew my political stance on something, would they treat me different in this moment? I don't know why my mind goes to that. I'm not intent on forcing a political conversation on a stranger in a 4-minute interaction. But I just wonder how unapologetic we've become in thinking we can treat people who don't think the political things we think are different. Like, would someone splash a Starbucks coffee in my face if I told them I was a Trump supporter as they were making my coffee in a liberal community? I don't know the answer to that. I feel like we're getting closer and closer to it being yes all the time. And I obviously think that's bad, because 99 times out of 100 in interactions I have in society, I don't give a crap what you believe politically. And I only care that 1 out of 100 time if you make me. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy, because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. It's time for a Quick Five on The Dana Show. D Lash or Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter, are great ways to stay connected to her, at Radio Craig C, if for some reason you want to stay connected to me. I thought this was interesting. Someone said that they were having a Maury baby. The dramatic experience changed my family forever, essentially meaning that there was drama that created someone having a kid. Here's the reason I thought this was funny. It caused a whole bunch of other people on social media to react to this story from the New York Post by saying how they miss Maury, or they miss these types of shows A Springer would be another one. And they have someone in their life that they wish they could interact with in a Springer way or on a Springer scale, which I find hilarious. Right now, the biggest version of a argument or fight or something that happens in our society happens online. People don't duke it out in real life anymore. And maybe that's what we need. Maybe we need someone to get all these social media people together who are yelling and screaming at each other and just start to have the fights happen in real life the way they did during the heydays of shows like Springer and Maury. But I love that so much that it's out there and it's a new version of a thing that people are debating if we need more of those shows in our society. Because yeah, heck yeah, why not? Also, I saw this. People are shaming each other for what you choose to eat during lunch, at your lunch break, sitting at your desk at work. Some people are saying that this is an example of how bad our economy is. If you're choosing to eat a, quote, $4 baked potato while sitting at your desk. Here's what I think is hilarious about that. We can all bring stuff from home, man. If you watch somebody go to the store across the street or the fast food restaurant and buy a ridiculous side dish and eat just that for lunch, that's a them problem, not a you problem. That's not a society issue. But I love that people are using this as an excuse to say that things are bad when really you're just a poor planner who needs to make more stuff at home. Greg Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there to talk about. We're going to bring on a guest, a friend of mine. His name is Ben Strusand. He is a radio host, podcaster. He does a Strew View, I think once or twice a week, that you can find out there on any place you get your podcasts. He's also a part of the Amigos at KSEV Radio, a political commentator, all kinds of stuff. Ben, welcome to the show.
Hey, Craig. Thanks for inviting me.
Thrilled to have you on. I want to immediately ask you about Davos, if you don't mind first, and the World Economic Forum. I was playing audio earlier in the show. Howard Lutnick, among others, saying that the first year Trump has been in office, he has done a lot to fight globalism, to fight all the damaging effects of globalization. I know this falls into a couple of your wheelhouses as far as finance and what goes. Do you agree with Lutnick? Do you think that you've seen signs of more of, you know, what we need returning to the United States, helping our economy grow? He pointed out, Howard, that 4.3% was the growth in the third quarter, and we're projected to have 5% growth within our economy early in this year.
Yeah, I think people are going to be surprised by the strength of the U.S. Economic growth in the first, at least the first and second quarters. There's going to be some benefit from the legislation that passed last year, the One Big Beautiful Bill, the extensions of the tax rates. A lot of people like to call them tax cuts. And that's the Democrat mantra, call them tax cuts. But the reality is that what the president and the Republicans did was extend the current tax rates to prevent a 30, 40, 50% jump in taxes that would have otherwise occurred had they not extended them. And there were certain areas that rates did go down somewhat, and we're going to get the benefits of that stimulus, but it's mostly with regard to forgiving tax on a portion of Social Security income.
Yeah.
Overtime and tips and things like that. So the vast majority of the tax cuts actually went to incomes under $80,000. But going back to your original statement, the economy will surprise on the upside. And I think that's going to, you know, cause Democrats to, you know, rethink their what they're going to run on at the end of the, you know, towards the elections in November.
Well, yeah. And as you've projected, my next follow up question to that is, how does this change some of the political atmosphere? If the economy does start to improve and improve as quickly as some think, and Trump is in Davos at the World Economic Forum yelling at people about Greenland, I believe, which I'm not upset with. I know you and I might have a differing opinion about some of that, but that's not the point in this. I just think it's interesting that he's going there with a certain set of bravado that Trump often has, mostly because of how the economy will rebound and what it will do to our political discussions here. I've looked at some projections, and not many people are seeing a Republican win in the House in 2026. Inside Elections does project a very small one, but most others are projecting Democrats would take over the House. Of course, there's conversations about the Senate. But I wanted to ask you to project forward. What are you thinking right now as far as the way these elections are being run?
Well, what I think is that the economic outcome, if we're correct, and as we discussed first, second quarter, people's incomes will begin to catch up with inflation. At the same time, the rate of inflation actually declines. So that I think 6 months from now, that it may not be as big. It'll still be an issue during the campaign, but it may not be the determining issue that motivates voters that are on the fence. And again, we're talking about a base election. We're not talking about a presidential year. This is very much a base election, and it's all about turnout and what motivates people to turn out. And but I think that inflation argument that they've used very effectively last year in a few elections around the country is not going to have the same advantage for them as what we've, you know, seen.
Sure. So let's talk about then what we think will actually motivate people to show up at the polls. When I look at places like Virginia and some of the things that they've put for now, this is not going to be, I think, on the radar of everyday Americans, unfortunately. But Virginia has taken over the governor's office as far as Democrats are concerned. They have control of the legislature, and they've put together a ridiculous set of proposed bills, raising taxes on everything. I think Uber Eats, Amazon, whatever. They can find new ways to take money from the everyday American. They want to ban gas-powered leaf blowers as one of the many bad ideas they've put forward. Are these the kind of things, if used correctly, that can motivate people, the end result of putting the wrong people in positions of power? Is that one way to get your base to vote and make sure that more Mamdanis don't win elections?
I don't necessarily think it translates into a motivation nationally. We tend to get sort of these bigger issues that float to the surface. I think your vote on immigration, how you feel about immigration, how you feel about Trump's response to the Biden immigration debacle that we had going on for 4 years, whether you support him or not, I think that is going to be a big motivator in terms of turnout on both sides. You know, when I'll relate this to Texas because this is where I live. The Democrats have a real possibility of nominating somebody to run in the U.S. Senate race, a Jasmine Crockett. And nothing turns out the Republican base like a Jasmine Crockett.
Sure.
So if Jasmine Crockett is the Democrat nominee for the U.S. Senate, it's not going to take all that much for a huge Republican-based turnout.
It's true.
So, and so when you start to localize these things and the fact that how Democrats run, I mean, you would think that a Democrat who had any prospect of trying to win a statewide race in Texas would, you know, sort of steer a much more sane, and I hate the word moderate because they really aren't, but let's say less insane course. And yes, her primary opponent, Tallarico, that's what he's trying to do. The problem is that the Democrats in Texas are just like the Democrats nationally. They're kooks. And I still feel that, you know, the party of, you know, John Conley and the Kennedys and even the Carters, I mean, that is so far gone. Those people hardly exist anymore inside the Democrat Party. And they certainly don't control the outcome of Democrat Party nominees. And so when they nominate these whack jobs, you get a reaction from the Republican side as well. So, you know, have at it, you know, put your super lib, your Ilhan Omar out there, put your Mandamiites out there, whatever you want to do, just put them out there and let's see who actually votes.
Yeah, I actually just got a text from Sergio Sanchez, who's a friend of the show. He has one of the affiliate stations in South Texas. Awesome guy, fill-in host all the time. He said one of the bigger problems is the gerrymandering that's occurred in some Democratic places. You saw places like Indiana resist it. You saw places like Texas absolutely adopt it and change some of the ways in which our maps are drawn. But more and more Democratic places might be doing this. Do you see that as a potential avenue to be the biggest catalyst to who wins this, is who was more willing during a midterm election to change their maps?
Well, I mean, in a close election where three or four seats in the U.S. House go one way or the other, yeah. I mean, because of the narrowness of the majority. But I also think that when the wind blows, it doesn't just blow in one congressional district. It blows everywhere. So if the Democrats, you know, hew to this left-wing progressive agenda, and you accurately described a lot of the things that they view as important, then you're going to get just as equal reaction amongst conservatives and the Republicans in terms of turnout. But going back to the first thing I said, beyond inflation, which I do see as being less of an issue as we go forward, the so-called cost of everything, affordability, as the new mantra is, I do see that issue sort of receding, but the immigration issue is moving to the top of the list. And it's going to be how people feel about immigration that is going to turn out, affect turnout so much. And
I think part of what you're saying, Ben, is the actual way in which both sides tell that story. Because right now, Democrats are telling a story of violence in the streets and an ICE organization that's, you know, running away with whatever their job is supposed to be. Mandami said that today on The View, that ICE doesn't serve the people and doesn't do the job they're hired to do. That's completely inaccurate, completely wrong. But when you're talking about the immigration issue as it stands today, the border is shut down. People aren't really coming across anymore. What we're really talking about is the enforcement of removing people from our country who should not be here, and how that plays with the American people, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's the enforcement action. And I'm glad you differentiated that. But clearly we've moved on. You know, we're the victim of our own success. Right.
So
we successfully, or Trump successfully, shut the door on illegal immigration. And now it's about cleaning up the mess that the Democrats and Joe Biden made during his 4 years and how to go about doing that. And, you know, I will stick to what I said last year. And that is that I felt that there was a lot of low hanging fruit there that we could have capitalized on and maintain the support of a majority of the American people had we first focused on, number one, the criminals, and second, on the illegal immigrants that had already had their immigration hearing and they had made bogus asylum claims, which we know 90% of them were, and they had been ordered deported. And that was another 1.5 million people. And as more of these claims are heard, those people are ordered deported. So, you know, the Democrats and their media allies always leave out the word illegal in front of the word immigrant. You know, it's immigrants who are being threatened. It's immigrants who are staying in their homes. It's immigrants that won't go out and go to the grocery store. Well, no, it's illegal immigrants, because anybody in this country legally doesn't have a problem and doesn't care.
Yes, we're not afraid of any of that. Here, I wanted to shift back to something you said about the Texas race specifically. I did see some data is indicating that at least right now, and we're in the infancy of this race to a lot of people, that Tallarico is doing much better than expected, and Crockett is behind him in some of that polling data. James Tallarico is someone that was lifted up by his interview with Joe Rogan and what appears to be a more of the middle of the line version of thinking as far as Democrats go. But you said it earlier, there are no Kennedy Democrats anymore. In fact, actually, when you watch Kennedy speeches, you feel like they would come from Republicans today and not Democrats at all, which is kind of amazing. But what is your take on the likelihood of the more moderate James Tallarico actually being the Democratic, a candidate out of the Texas Senate race?
Yeah, so it's possible, and he has been closing in the polls, and he has been getting the support of what I guess is left of the moderate wing of the Democrat Party. But I still think that the Democrats in Texas are dominated by the left wing, the anti-Israel, the faux, the folks that, the Omars and the AOCs and the Mandamiites and I maybe they can be talked into it, but I've very rarely seen an election in a primary that where the dominating factor is let's nominate the most electable person.
It does not happen. And as you said before, the base that shows up to vote are the people that decide these things. And the base on the Democratic side, the people most easy to motivate to show up and cast ballots are usually the most insane. One last thing. We're running out of time before I let you go. I wanted to ask you about another AP analysis thing that's out there. 10% of the U.S. House is not running for reelection, whether these are people retiring or finding other avenues to run for office. Are you surprised at the amount of people who are, essentially kicking it in? This is the most we've seen since, I think, Barack Obama's administration of people deciding they've had enough of politics, or at least they need to move to some other avenue. But are you surprised in that number being as high as it is?
Well, I think on the Democrat side, it has a lot to do with age, because a lot of those folks are dinosaurs and they needed to retire 10 years ago. On the Republican side, I think that's what's left of the Bush establishment is throwing up their hands now that Trump is essentially dominating, three quarters of the Republican Party. And so, I don't shed a lot of tears over the turnover. I wish we had that kind of turnover every 2 years, quite frankly.
Amen. I agree with you on that. Well, thank you. Ben Strusand, you are the host of The Amigos, a show every Friday on KSEV Radio in Houston, Texas. You are also the host of a podcast, Strew View, or The Strew with a View. Is that, am I getting it right now? Is it called The Strew with a View?
You are getting it right. Of course, the Democrats like to, change that first word and make it a pejorative. but you do a real good job. I appreciate it, Craig.
Why, thank you. Yes, Ben Strusand. Check him out on all of the different podcast platforms that are out there. A quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in, and we're just about done. I saw a list of chores go viral. A guy said that kids today don't do chores anymore the way we used to in past generations. He had to thoroughly clean the bathroom one day. He had to clean all of the living room the next day, polish furniture, all kinds of things. His week-to-week chores were crazy, and I think he's right about that. that getting kids to do more stuff around the house might be a great way to show them how to be more responsible, darn it. But that's it. That's the show. Thrilled to be with you. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show. Talk to you next time.
The new year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. Your info is in endless places that could expose you to identity theft, leading to lost funds. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
This is Julian Edelman from Dudes on Dudes with Gronk and Jules. Sunday mornings, I've got my game day ritual. Coffee, lucky socks, and now new morning Uncrustable sandwiches.
It's all about that 12-gram protein boost with the new Uncrustables Bright-Eyed Berry or Up and Apple flavors.
Bright-Eyed Berry's got a feisty receiver energy.
Up and Apple? Your classic do-it-all tight end.
Soft, pillowy, packed with protein, and easy enough for Gronk to grab from the freezer.
Whether you're on the couch, driving to the tailgate, or heading to the locker room, new morning Uncrustable sandwiches are the MVP of snacks.
Your new Sunday kickoff ritual starts here with new morning Uncrustable sandwiches packed with 12 grams of protein.
I like things my way. My coffee, my schedule, and my treatment. So I talked to my doctor about self-injecting with the VivGuard Hytrulo prefilled syringe, which contains efgartigimod alpha and hyaluronidase QVFC. It's injected under your skin, subcutaneously. It means I can inject in my space, on my time. It's my treatment, my way. Visit VivGuardMyWay.com. That's VYVGARD MyWay.com. And talk to your doctor about VivGuard Hytrulo, brought to you by Argenix.